Good morning, friends.
Hello.
Hello, or good afternoon, whenever you're listening.
That is true. We are an acquired taste podcast, and I am sitting here with my friends Sam.
Hello.
And Bethany.
Hi, I can't do that voice.
And I'm Kathleen.
Hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, guys.
You look fabulous today. Kathleen always comes in looking crisp.
Crisp, excellent adjective for her.
It's because I have a very good iron.
Is that what it is? Wait, what brand of iron do you use?
I don't know. I'll let you know, but it's very fun to use.
Is it?
But don't you guys find ironing therapeutic?
Very much so.
I do.
I've never ironed a thing in my life.
What?
Are you kidding me?
No. Okay, Oprah, really?
No.
Damn, girl, what do you do?
I've used a straightening iron and a towel whenever I have a... Bethany's looking at me like I'm crazy, but Kathleen's shaking her head like she knows at least what I'm talking about.
Yes. No, what? I have... sometimes if like there's a little pocket or a little... just a collar or a lapel that needs a little straightening,
this
I use my straightening
thing.
Iron to do it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of really nice clothes, so what I do, I take to the dry cleaner, and then if I have an outfit with a wrinkle in the sleeve, all I have to do is fold a towel over it, and I take my straightening iron.
That's nuts!
Yeah, you just clamp up and down.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I've been ironing since I was in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I used to turn on the oldies because we had an old radio in the basement and just iron.
No, I'm with you on that. I remember when I was like summer vacation, my parents would be at work and I would go into the laundry and get all of my dad's shirts, button-down shirts that were clean but hadn't been ironed, and I would just sit and iron all afternoon, and then he would come home to like ironed pressed shirts.
That's the cute. Did he think you were the most precious human in the world?
Probably.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
It's super therapeutic. I'm with you, Kathleen.
You know, aww. I don't understand why people are like, oh, I have to do laundry. To me, laundry is a joy. Don't you love taking things out of the wash and you're like, this smells so good. It's so clean. It's going to look amazing when I wear it.
What once was soiled is now clean.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's because I don't have a washer dryer in my apartment. So it's a luxury item.
Gotcha. I want to bring more joy to your life, Kathleen. So I'm going to let you start doing my laundry.
Okay.
And I want you to be all the more happy.
I'm going to come over and do mine at the same time.
Fantastic. Okay. You can both come over to my apartment and do laundry. We'll all do laundry together.
Can we have a laundry party?
Yeah. We can co-mingle our whites.
Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. Don't cross delicate.
Our underpants will kiss.
Stop it. It'll be like sex, but much cleaner and without sin. Jesus won't cry.
Yeah.
So Kathleen, you brought to us an email today that we got from somebody who listens to the podcast.
Yeah, I was reading through our messages, and this email from our listener, who doesn't name herself, and you'll find out why, it's just struck a chord with me, and I think that a lot of people can relate to her dilemma.
Yeah.
Bethany, do you want to go ahead and read it?
Yes, I will read it. So it's a little bit long, but hang in there with us because it'll all make sense. Yeah. So she says, I'm assuming it's a she, Dear Acquired Taste, what do you do when you break up with a friend? I need to find closure. Please don't judge me. It's not my finest moment. Within the past few weeks, I've reconnected with a male friend. 4 years ago, I cheated on my boyfriend with this friend. Our reconnection happened under unfortunate circumstances. His mother just passed away. And I thought maybe this time we could just be friends. I wanted to be there for him and to support him after this major loss in his life. By the way, I should say we're both in other relationships right now, romantic relationships. So she says, I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years. He has been with his girlfriend for over a year. We both feel like growth within the love relationships have hit a standstill. After hanging out a few times just as friends, the lust from our affair 4 years ago reared its ugly head, this time stronger than ever. This is why we broke up as friends. I knew in my heart that if we didn't stop hanging out, I would end up sleeping with this guy. I love my boyfriend, but I care and I want to be around my friend. I want to be able to have both, but I obviously can't. A friend breakup is different than a romantic breakup, even though I had romantic feelings about my friend. So how can I find closure in this situation? And is there ever a chance we could be, quote, just friends?
That's a loaded question.
A loaded question.
All right.
I know.
Is this one of those things where I'm sure we're also, well, we're going to give our opinion and our thoughts, but that's very different from advice.
Yeah.
Because personally, I've not been in this exact situation, so I'd shy away from saying anything I'm going to say today is advice.
Mm.
It's just perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so I want to commend this listener for recognizing that she was going to cheat on her boyfriend again and getting out of a situation that she felt was sticky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that takes a lot of strength because it's really fun to be around someone that you have feelings for. Like,
yeah.
Even if you know that you're with somebody else, it's really fun to get that little feeling in your stomach. Yeah. And it's an ego snack to know they feel the same way.
Yes.
And it's fun to think about them and to get the little rush. And so to cut that off is very commendable. You're right, Kathleen.
And I'm impressed. I think this is an example of taking your own advice. I feel like this is something you would tell a friend to do if they really were, you know, at risk of something dangerous mm-hmm. and distasteful happening. Mm-hmm. So I also am very impressed with her because this is not the easy decision.
Yeah. I mean, it her letter to us is layered. Of course, we can all understand wanting to be there for a friend after a parent passes away. That's a hugely traumatic experience in your life. And sometimes when something traumatic like that happens to you, you go back to people you knew in your previous life.
Yeah.
That's a good
there's
point.
A sense it's of a comfort. Comfort. Mm-hmm.
There's
a very
sense
good
of
point.
Comfort there. Somebody who knew you, you know, she obviously knew him when his mother was alive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he just wants to feel normal again. We can all understand that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think there's a single thing wrong with the reconnection.
Yeah, I don't think she went in there like, oh, I'm going to use this as a chance to have sex with him. Like,
right.
It's not that at all. I know what I think needs to happen. Do you guys know what you think needs to happen?
Yes.
All right, Kathleen, what do you think?
I think that though she wants to still be friends with this guy, she needs to cut him out of her life completely. Also, she mentioned not being so totally happy in her current relationship that she felt like it was at a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
She also needs to reevaluate what's going on mm-hmm. there, because if you're with this guy that you love for 6 years and then all of a sudden you have really strong feelings that you are probably going to act upon with somebody else, there's something wrong in your relationship to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two separate issues, but you're totally, absolutely, I'm with you. I have a thought, but it seems to be slightly walking the line of fire.
Uh-oh.
I'm the kind of person that if I have something to say to someone that matters to me, someone I'm in a relationship with, a good friend, a family member, there's no getting over it with myself. I feel like our friend here who signed Love Blurred Platonic Lines, she made the decision, but like she mentioned, needs closure. Like, this is not a normal relationship. How do I get closure for this? I think they need to have the breakup date, so to speak, where you hang out, both knowing that we're going to hash every thought we have about each other and about why this isn't going to work and how much this sucks. And yes, then completely cut off communication forever. The reason I know this is playing with fire is two-part. One, you know, heaven forbid they accidentally end up getting into a little physical trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be good. That's not something that should happen at this breakup closure date.
Yeah,
Do it in public. And two, I know, and I would be the same way if I were her boyfriend. Is that cheating in a way? Emotional cheating to have this discussion with someone? To be in a relationship of 6 years and then have a night with a person where you don't so much as shake their hand, but you look at them and you tell them how much you do care for them and that they are, you know, this is why I'm walking away because I do feel attraction to you and we've had this history. That would devastate me. Ooh. If I were her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't consider that. Is that cheating having the conversation at all?
I don't know how I feel about that, but as the person in her shoes, I feel like I'd need to do that mm-hmm. to get over it.
Oh, that raises such an interesting point. I didn't think about that.
So emotional cheating.
Yeah.
Emotional cheating's a real thing.
Because it's one thing to cut it off now and say, you know what, I can't see you again.
Yeah.
Period. It's another to sit down and dig into it.
Yeah.
And it's the digging in that might be the cheating part.
Yeah, exactly. That feeling that might make you look at your beloved later on in the evening and feel kind of just
different.
I think you both are right. This is what I'm thinking, is that Kathleen, I agree with you in that it needs to start with her relationship.
Yeah.
This friend is actually an auxiliary point.
Yeah.
I think that she can't really do anything with anybody, friendship or otherwise, until she figures out what's going on in her relationship
yeah.
right now. And if it's not growing, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
She's got to figure it out.
Well, mm-hmm. she said in the letter that she cheated on her boyfriend 4 years ago. They've been together 6 years.
Yeah.
She cheated on him with this guy.
Ugh, sticky.
And by the way, I don't know if you ever want to admit if the person doesn't know you cheated, I don't know if you want to admit that.
Yeah.
Because that will break them in a way that they may not need to be broken, mm-hmm. by yeah. the way. That's just a side point. I think there's something else that needs to happen is she needs to look at this friend and very honestly with herself, not in a conversation with him, decide if this is a person she can see herself being with mm-hmm. long term and be really honest about it. I have a list in my journal of things that are wrong with a person that I'm currently that I currently have really strong feelings for. Mm-hmm. And it's a list of reasons why it would not work out. And that's what it's called. Reasons why it would not work out with Ted. Underlined. Number one.
Not subtle. Love it.
Number one. Doesn't drink yeah. his coffee black.
Exactly. It's like no, all of these different reasons. And things that are like deal breakers yeah. and things that aren't deal breakers. And then if that list to you is like, I could never live with this person, then you know you're not going to cheat with him. Then eventually there might be an ability down the road to have a friendship with him yeah. once you get over all of these lusty feelings.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I think everybody who's in a relationship where they know that that relationship is not good for them, but they're addicted to the high that that relationship gives them, take a note from Bethany, make that list of why this person is not good for you so you can continually remind yourself and prevent that blindness, being mm-hmm. love blind to the happy moments yeah. with this person that don't always overweigh the negative moments with this person.
Yep. Keep it in your phone too if yeah. you don't like have a journal, because when I was breaking up with my last really serious boyfriend, every time I saw him, I lost my resolve because mm-hmm. all I saw was like, this is why I love you, but I knew it wasn't working yeah. out. And so before I broke up with him, I looked in my phone and I looked at all the reasons why I knew that this wasn't right. And that's what reminded me of like, that's right. This happens. I feel this way. And it helped me remember the logical part of it.
Yeah, that's really hard.
I think she has to do that with the friend.
Yeah.
She's got to figure out how she feels about him logically.
Do you guys think there's such a thing, and I've heard both sides of this. Do you think there's such a thing as being in love with two people?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what scares me.
Because they can provide different things for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's true. That's what frightens me for our friend emailer here, is that possible realization.
Yeah.
No matter how she does this, she could text him, call him, snail mail him today and say, I can't ever see you again, and really feel like she's doing the right thing for everyone involved, and then wake up to feelings. That's the only reason I am so pro hashing everything out. Mm-hmm. But again, that doesn't take her partner very much into account.
You yeah. know, it's hard because she broke up with her friend, but I don't want her to wake up every day and look at her boyfriend and feel silent resentment.
Mm, yeah, that's a really good point too.
So maybe I'm starting to change my opinion. I'm leaning towards Sam. You do need to hash it out, because if you don't and you just go cold turkey, there's always going to be something there that she didn't even figure out for herself.
What if are my least favorite two words.
Yeah.
What if? And I say that not about, you know, about everything. What if? What if? That's why I'm, you know, there are very few things I look back in my life. If I can say what if about it within the last few years, I've made steps to revocate it. Yeah. Just to find out. And the two of you know, as my friends, and we've talked about things on the podcast in my past, that there are definitely things in my life I revisited out of curiosity. And now, like, you know, there are those things are, you know, the doors are shut. And that feels great, because for years it was what if. Mm-hmm. And that sucked. Mm-hmm. That sucked balls.
What if are the two, I hate those words as much as I love the two words open bar. Like, those are the like the two sides of the spectrum.
Bottomless brunch.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I have decided this is what she needs to do.
Yes.
I figured it out.
Okay. Flora recognizes Bethany.
Step one, she needs to make a list of everything that is wrong with this friend so that she can see if it could actually work out as a real person relationship.
Yeah.
Number two, subset of number one, let's make this a 1A. If nothing on that list is a deal breaker and she really can, in her most honest heart, see herself being with the friend, then she needs to figure out if it's time to hash it out with him, because she needs to figure out if he, in person, is a viable option for a boyfriend.
In person. Right.
And if he is a viable boyfriend in person, then she needs to figure her stuff out at home. And see if yeah. boyfriend at home compares well to friend in real life, and then needs to figure out who she needs to be with. But this isn't a one answer. This is like step by step process.
This is also so specific to each couple, trio, whatever yeah. specific situation. And another thing she has to keep in mind, you have to be ready to deal with the consequence of any way you decide to deal with this. Mm. If you decide to, maybe you were leaning toward having a discussion and then you want to tell your significant other, or you don't and your significant other finds out, you have to be willing to be all right with the consequences that might end up happening. That would suck, but no decision is going to be easy. Anything right now is kind of playing a little risky.
I know.
Well, best of luck, because this really, it's tough.
Yeah. But I think so many of us have fallen for a friend.
Of course.
Yeah.
And part of it, I think, is that it's forbidden a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not in the way like your stepbrother is forbidden, but definitely.
Nope, won't make that mistake again.
But don't these sort of everyday, not serious crushes kind of fuel you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the coffee cart guy who has like a dimple, or
he calls you darling.
Yeah. Or but like for me, it's my landlord.
Really?
Who is this like 80-year-old Italian guy. And every time I see him, I'm like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Who do you have a crush on right now, Sam?
Every time Jim Kerr opens his mouth and says my name, I just, inside.
Once I tripped and Jim Kerr caught me.
You bitch!
Like in Twilight?
Yeah.
Like in Twilight?
If you guys don't know who Jim Kerr is, he's our neighbor here at iHeartMedia.
And a radio legend.
Yes. Just that voice. Like if I had an order of operations for people I wanted to read me bedtime stories, it would be Morgan Freeman, and then the tie would be like Jim Kerr and Tom Hanks.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, that's the collection of bedtime stories.
Jim Kerr. Yeah, we'll have to post a link of his picture up on our Twitter page.
And now he knows that I love his voice.
It's not a secret.
It's not one.
We all love his voice.
Oh, you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, it's like Kathleen said, best of luck. And to the listener who sent this to us, will you please let us know how it's going?
Yeah, please.
Now as a family, we're invested.
Yeah, we'll actually even show up to the conversation, the three of us.
We'll sit behind the menus in the restaurant.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask for photos and make diagrams.
We're very thorough.
Timelines.
Yeah. And thanks so much for reaching out. And to, you know, everybody else listening, you are so encouraged to do this. Yeah. Like, we love, you know, talking to you guys. And not every podcast is us making jokes the whole time.
Yeah. We want to talk about real stuff, too.
Absolutely.
As much as fairies are real.
Speaking of, Bethany, what fairy do you have a crush on right now? Because you didn't say your secret crush.
Who do I have a crush on right now? Yeah. I have several. I mean, I always kind of have a bunch of crushes brewing. But I did. Do either of you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
No, you don't watch Game of Thrones.
I do. We get the highlights sometimes.
Okay.
I've like, seen pictures from
Khaleesi
the cast.
That Khaleesi naked scene where she burned everyone down.
Yeah, that was good.
That was hot.
Oh, whoa. She burned all the Dothraki. Oh, spoiler alert. She burned all the Dothraki. Anyway. Sorry. I had a dream. So I had a dream over the weekend. Sam, I think I told you about this maybe. And in the dream, I was on vacation at a resort, like a Bahamas, like Atlantis kind of resort or whatever. But it was owned by this family. And in the family was an eldest son who was like in his 30s, right? And
as many eldest sons should be.
Yeah. And during the course of my vacation, he and I just sort of fell comfortably in love. Like, it was never a flirtation. It was just sort of like he would come up behind me and put his arms around me, and I just felt safe and loved.
Oh.
And it was the most loved, like, in love, safe I've ever felt, awake or asleep. Like, dreamlike.
Wow.
What?
It felt the way that I think love is actually supposed to feel when you feel safe.
What drugs are you taking before you go to sleep?
Dude. Also, I dropped acid that day.
Last night I dreamed that my toothbrush turned into a piece of broccoli, so...
Wait, so the way this ties into Game of Thrones is that the guy in the dream was, I don't know the character's name, but he is like the priest at the place of the many-faced god.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, I'm sure a lot of people know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Bethany is showing us photos of a man in a cloak.
Yeah, he's a cloak and long hair, and he has the white stripe in his hair. So if you watch Game of Thrones, that's who it is. The actor's real name is Tom, which is a major disappointment. But on the show, his name is something fabulous that I think has a Q in it. So anyway, in my dream, this was the guy that I was like so comfortably, happily, finally safe in love with. And so now I have the biggest crush on him in real life, because I had like, we had this intense emotional connection.
Oh, interesting. God. Have you guys ever had dreams about people whom you weren't sure where their face came from? Because I was taught once in a college course, doesn't make it true, that you can't make up faces.
Really?
You're, the faces you see in your dreams, whether you recognize them or not, or someone you saw when you were crossing the street, or a collection of a couple faces, it's nothing that you created yourself.
That's an interesting theory.
I believe that.
Do you?
Because when I'm illustrating and trying to draw a face, I can't ever just draw something from the top of my head. I always have to think about, oh, this person's jaw and that person's eyes and this person's nose.
Oh, really?
So
That's
kind of
fascinating.
Sounds like that could be connected.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm only asking because I too fell in love with a dream a while ago. A guy in a dream, blonde hair, blue eyes, not my type. And I don't know who this human is. I never saw anyone that looked like that ever.
Will you recognize him when you come across him in real life?
Maybe. No, I don't.
Is his name Nate Marino? Because you already know him.
Holy crap.
So it sounds like you guys remember your dreams like I do. Some people don't at all.
Yeah, definitely.
That makes me sad.
Almost every night I remember my dream.
You should. And they say that if you don't remember them, you're supposed to do something. And I don't know what that is. So this is so not helpful.
Dream about it and you'll know tomorrow.
Jumping jacks.
Like intent. I don't know. It's
a friend
intent.
Of mine said you're supposed to log them and that helps you focus in on them. It's okay. Kind of like doing push-ups only for your dreams. Like you wake up and you write them down and it helps improve focus so you can fall back into dreams or whatever like that.
He's
a smart cookie, so I'll believe that.
All right. Is he blonde hair and blue-eyed? Maybe.
He's brunette with hazelish greenish eyes.
So well, it's the opposite then. Yeah.
This is not fair because I don't fall in love with him in my dreams.
You will. You
set
fell in love
attention.
In real life. You're the only one who's married.
Once I hooked up with Jonah Hill in my dream, but that was it.
That's a good one.
Skinny Jonah Hill or chubby Jonah Hill?
Funny Jonah Hill or
funny Jonah Hill?
Angry Jonah Hill?
Yay. I mean, I have a thing for funny chubby guys, so.
Like Jonah Hill's a bunch of dwarves.
Hey, Kevin James.
Funny, angry, chubby, skinny, sleepy, bashful dog.
All right, let's go. Bethany, take it away.
Let's go around the circle. Let's talk about one thing we learned this week, and then we're going to wrap this sumbitch up.
Yeah.
Oh, I just unplugged my headphones. This happens once an episode. We really need to learn to be radio professionals.
I started taping Kathleen's and mine because we share an outlet.
That's really smart.
And I just taped them now.
That's very, very smart.
So how about Kathleen? Do you want to kick it off? What'd you learn this week?
Yes. So I've actually been discussing this issue with Sam all week and part of last week. My yoga clothes came out of the washer dryer. Oh, it's a laundry thing. It's looping it all in.
There it is.
Smelling. Like they hadn't been washed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this is a thing. If you work out a lot, you do a lot of hot yoga or classes where you're sweating, your clothes can develop a musky smell, which is really disgusting. Anyway, for anybody out there who's also suffering from the workout yoga pant musk.
We have a support group.
The W-O-Y-P-M.
I soaked all of my clothing, my sports bras and pants and stuff, in white vinegar overnight. Mm-hmm. And then wash them twice, and it's like they're good as new.
I still have to try your tip, Kathleen, because that sounds awesome. It depends on how long it sits.
Yeah.
Like if you leave your yoga clothes for 3 days and then wash them, it's going to be musky. It doesn't matter how many times you wash them. So you have to watch it that day. I don't have the time or the quarters to do that. So I'm going to take your advice and start vinegaring once a week.
Just keep a tub of vinegar.
Just sitting out.
My roommate's going to love me.
Sam, what about you? What did you learn this week?
Funnily enough, my thing was take your own advice. And that kind of loops back to the email we got, but that was going to be mine. Take your own advice. A friend of mine's been super sleepy every time he wakes up, and you're supposed to chug water in the morning because your body dehydrates overnight and that really helps re-energize you. And I've been sleepy too. And I was telling him for days, did you drink your water? Did you take a pack of emergency? Because I think the daily vitamin boost is also a really good idea for energy. And I looked at myself like, son of a bitch, I've been telling him to do this for a while and I stopped doing it and I feel the same.
Mm.
And I'm back on and I feel much better.
So how much water do you drink in the morning?
I try and chug half of my giant canteen that I keep around. So I would
like
say
20
that's,
ounces.
That's like, yeah, this is a 21-ounce canteen, exactly. So I try and chug as much as I can, which is like half, and then you drink whatever you can throughout the morning.
That's fabulous. I love that.
Yeah, what did you learn, Bethany?
You know what? I actually learned something vinegar-based as well.
What's with you?
I want to thank everybody on Twitter who reached out to me because I was complaining on the big show about how all of my sinks and everything are clogged with hair.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's so gross.
Yeah, we were at your house last week.
I asked you what you killed in your sink before we got there.
It really does look like something died in my bathroom sink, but that one's beyond any help. I need to get a plumber in there to like take whatever is living in my...
and exorcist.
But if you have like a slow drain, which I have in my bathtub, instead of getting Drano or a plunger, what works really, really beautifully is you pour a pot of boiling water down.
Okay.
And then once all of that goes down, you take a half a cup of baking soda, you pour that in, you let it sit for a couple of minutes, and then you take a half a cup you take a cup of vinegar and a cup of hot water, mix them together, pour them down the drain, and then put a stopper over it to keep it down.
Huh.
And the activation, the bubbling that causes between the baking soda and the vinegar, it creates all these bubbles and it shoots down into the tub and
wow.
It clears everything out. And then you pour another pot of boiling water down after about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And it totally cleaned out my drain.
Do you want to tweet these instructions? Because
yeah,
it's kind of thorough, but it sounds super useful.
Yeah,
I like it because it's a home remedy. There's no chemicals.
Yeah. Exactly. You're not putting chemicals down into the water system or anything like that. But again, it doesn't work if it's like a stopped, bathroom sink. But
if you've like clayed it up already.
Yeah, like if there's a bunch of sugar scrub stuck in there, you're screwed. But if it's a slow drain, it'll work for you. So we'll tweet those instructions out, and I'll also tweet out the picture of the man I'm in love with via my dream. Thank you so much.
Oh, where are we tweeting them?
Oh, Bethany? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Tweeting.
Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
Yes.
And any photos we find we might want to post between now and forever will be on our Instagram account at Acquired Taste Podcast.
And don't forget our Facebook page,
yes!
Acquired Podcast.
Yes, we will be there. Keep emailing us. Keep reaching out to us. We love hearing from you. We'll do our best to reach back out. And maybe your question or advice requirement will be on the next show. Thank you so much for listening. Kathleen, thanks for bringing the letter, by the way.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you next week.